I'll be reading from the second chapter of the Gospel of Mark, verses 1 through 12. I think a very, very familiar healing story. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk.' But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And so he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's really an honor to bring this evening's message for this service. This Tuesday evening service has been a part of this church's life for about a year now. Decided that for those who could not be, for whatever reason, could not come on Sunday morning, that this service would always be here. And so I felt one Sunday morning a call to maybe look at some of these services as being an opportunity for folks to come and receive prayers of healing. And so we chose to do that on this night of nights. And I think our pattern may very well be the first Tuesday of every month will be a time for prayers for healing. Now, another interesting thing about it, when I turned on the computer today and I looked at my emails and the internet, I really didn't know this, but April, this is pretty amazing, April is Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month. Now, doesn't God work in interesting ways? So we're right on task, I think. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Most preachers have a tendency to let on like we know more things and more people than we really do. For example, most preachers will give you a big smile and sometimes even a hug when they greet you, even though they haven't seen you for a while and they have no idea what your name is. It's kind of like some sort of defense mechanism, I guess. But let me tell you how this approach backfired terribly on me a couple years before I retired. The organist in my former church stepped down because she was aging, and we were auditioning some potential new organists at our church. And so one afternoon while I was passing by the sanctuary, I heard the organ being played not very well. I walked in and found a youngish fellow sitting on the organ bench, and next to him was an older gentleman who was encouraging him and turning the pages for him. I suspected that he was probably his father. When he finished playing, I introduced myself, and I discovered that, in fact, this was his father. I wished them well, and then secretly hoping that he wouldn't get the job. And he didn't. Several months passed, and I was attending an event in an altogether different church for persons who had been on an Emmaus weekend. Now, an Emmaus weekend is a weekend of spiritual renewal for adults. And I saw someone at this gathering standing at a refreshment table across the hall of the fellowship hall. And so he looked a lot like the organist who had been auditioning for the job. So I strode over to them and greeted them warmly and said something like, "Oh, I didn't know you had been on an Emmaus weekend." He seemed rather surprised that I didn't remember him. He said, "You were my spiritual director for the entire weekend." I said, "Oh," with some embarrassment. And so in order to recover, I asked him while I was taking a bite of a cracker spread on my cheese, or the cheese spread on my cracker, excuse me. So I said, "So how's your dad these days?" He looked a bit perplexed and said, "My dad's been dead for 6 years." So, in hoping to recover from this huge faux pas, I turned to the woman who was standing next to him and I said, "So, is this your mother?" "No, this is my wife." When I tell that story, if one of my kids is with us, they usually say, "Dad, why didn't you go for the perfect trifecta and said, 'When's the baby due?'" Now, I tell you that story simply to put into perspective where I am today. Today, I would have found it very difficult to walk across the fellowship hall. I would have had even more difficulty carrying on a conversation without some stammering and struggling for words. I do pretty well when I have words written in front of me. And I have ample opportunity to practice. But usually I avoid casual conversations. And I know some of you have observed me on Sunday morning standing off kind of by myself. That's why. You see, back then, and even only a few years into retirement, I didn't know that I was probably in the early stages of Parkinson's. However, four years ago, I was attending a conference in Lakeside, Ohio, and I was volunteering at the registration table. I was checking off names and giving out information packets. And I remember then how difficult it was to complete those simple tasks. Later on that week, we had lunch with a pastor and his wife. And he came right out and asked, "Jim, do you have Parkinson's?" "No," I shot back. "No, I don't. It's arthritis. You know, I'm just getting old." Later on the next month, I was filling in for my son, who is a United Methodist pastor in Marion County. And Josh mentioned to me when he and the family returned from vacation, he said that one of his parishioners asked him if I had Parkinson's. Josh said this gentleman observed that when I moved from the pew I was sitting in up to the pulpit, I moved rather stiffly, one of the signs of the disease. Of course, both of those comments got Mary Kay and I to thinking. Then shortly after that, one evening, I heard her call across the house, "Honey, come in here. We need to talk." Words that every husband dreads. So I took my place in the chair across from her. She was sitting there with her laptop. She proceeded. "I went to this Parkinson's website," and she slowly read a list of symptoms that occur with PD. Hand tremors, shuffled walking, moments of imbalance and even falling, a softer voice, difficulty swallowing, handwriting becomes smaller, and on the list went. Easily, I manifested half of those characteristics. So it was time to discuss this with my doctor, who referred me to a neurologist. And after some tests were done, he was pretty sure I had PD. And after another visit 6 months later, his diagnosis was confirmed. I learned a few other things during that time, friends. No one really knows what causes the disease. Currently, there is not a cure for this disease. There are a variety of treatments, but no cures. And if anyone could say anything assuring to me, it was this: the disease is not terminable. I guess the other thing that was a bit assuring for me was that I'm in good company. Neil Diamond has it. Linda Ronstadt has it. Charles Schulz, the cartoonist, had it. The Attorney General of the U.S., former Attorney General of the U.S., Janet Reno, has it. And in 2012, the Reverend Billy Graham was diagnosed with it. And I think we all know that Muhammad Ali has it. One celebrity who has it and is working tirelessly to find funding for the study as you may well know, is Michael J. Fox, whom I suspect you have seen him on TV crusading on behalf of himself and a million of the rest of us. Friends, it's not my intention this evening to turn this into a lecture on the disease or to talk about what it's doing to me, but I want to help you to be aware of some important things about the disease and mostly how it has affected my faith journey. PD can start slowly, so slowly that it's scarcely noticed. A slight tremor in the hand. That could be stress, couldn't it? A twitch in the shoulder. That could be some muscle strain, couldn't it? Your spouse asks why you don't smile anymore. Your children ask why you walk so slow. And you kind of ignore their comments. But in your heart, you know they mean something. And so you make an appointment with your doctor and are told that it could be PD. What is it, you ask? Is it an infection like a virus? No, it's not an infection. It's a chronic condition. It's an imbalance like diabetes. In diabetes, you lack insulin. In PD, you lack a chemical called dopamine. Dopamine is a chemical messenger in the brain. The loss of dopamine is a key factor in PD. The symptoms may include trembling of your hands, stiffness of your muscles, and a movement disorder. The movement disorder has a name, bradykinesia. This movement disorder consists of slow movement, even an incompleteness of movement, and feeling as though your feet are stuck to the floor or frozen. We have to give ourselves a moment when we're frozen and have to kind of rock back and then move forward. You may see me do that from time to time. Parkinson's disease results from a lack of dopamine. And this chemical messenger that I spoke of just a few moments ago, is this lack of dopamine is targeted in a portion of the brain called the substantia nigra. We don't really know why this portion of the brain is targeted, but a campaign towards new research to get the answer is underway to not only understand why PD begins as it does, but someday discover perhaps a cure for it. Until then, PD patients will continue a lifetime of regular medications such as carbidopa, sediment, Myrapex, and the like. But the other aid to living longer, get this, is regular exercise. Exercise has become my medicine. Exercise won't stop, or neither will it reverse the progress of PD, but it can improve one's body. It can improve one's body strength and muscle tone so that you will be less disabled as time goes on. I'm discovering that it has become one of my best strategies for coping with PD. Besides the physical benefits, it can lift depression and improve one's mind or mood. I realized that when I discovered a program called Delay, I discovered that when I began a program called Delay the Disease. It was developed through a man who was, a lifelong resident of Upper Arlington, David Zid. And I'm grateful to David and to his partner in this mission, Jackie Russell, and to Ohio Health for making the program possible. I go to Delay the Disease once a week for an hour, and not only have I seen a difference, but I have entered into a very special community. A very special community of 20 to 25 people who are all going through this disease at various stages. And I can't tell you what a therapeutic thing this has become for me. Delay the Disease stresses balance, increases our cardio rates, challenges our coordination skills, plus so much more. And just so you know a little bit of what we do, I'm going to lead you in two exercises. MJ is our instructor. She's sitting next to Sally. So I don't know if I'm going to do this right, but we'll try. Now, those of you who are in my Delay the Disease class, let's not get carried away, okay? These people, this is their first time to do this, okay? So be kind. And there's maybe two or three of us here. So the first one is I'm going to simply ask you to do your vowels. We're going to do the vows like you did in school, but don't include sometimes why. Remember how you did that? A-E-I-O-U and sometimes why. No why. Here we go. So let's say them together. A-E-I-O-U. Oh, that was very good. Now, I'm going to complicate it a little bit. Like for you to hold your hands up like thus, if you can, if you're able to. And then we're going to touch our thumb with each of our fingers as we say the vowels. Okay? We'll do that about three times. Here we go. A-E-I-O-U. 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 Very good. Now it's going to get a little harder. I'd like for you to extend your hands, but don't stab the person in front of you. With one palm up and one palm down. And this is called pancaking. So we're just going to do this just for a moment. Ready? Okay. You think you're really good at this, right? Now we're going to count to 70 by sevens. I'm going to get you started, and I'm going to drop out. Ready? Here we go. 7, 14, 21. Roger just finished. He was a little bit behind the rest of us. It's fun. We enjoy ourselves, and we're exhausted at the end because we do a lot more than just that. Another exercise regimen that I'm discovering is now a thing called dancing with Parkinson's. And Chloe, who is our dance instructor, is here tonight, and she's brought some material in case some of you who have Parkinson's might be interested. I want to tell you, the dancing thing is not just for little tiny people. I'm in it, and Charles, sitting right over here on the end, he's even a couple, 3 or 4 inches taller than I am. He and I go, and we just dance our legs off. Thanks to Chloe, she's here tonight. But delay the disease has also nudged me in a direction I really couldn't have imagined. After one of the classes back in September of 2016, I was talking with one of our instructors and just so happened to mention that I was a retired United Methodist pastor. One of the participants who was standing near us turned to me and with a smile said, "You're a pastor? We should start a prayer group." I paused, I smiled back and said, "Let me think about that." Because, you see, I didn't know where Ohio Health or the Gerlach Center, where our classes were held, how they might feel about a group that's centering for prayer, you know, might fit into the whole scheme of things. And I didn't know the religious backgrounds of the other participants, so I thought an invitation to join a prayer group might make things a little bit awkward. But with the encouragement of our instructor, she said, "Of course, you can. Prayer just further, get this, prayer just further demonstrates our need for a more holistic approach to healing." I think I gave you a high five when you said that. The prayer group began with 3 or 4 of us pulling our chairs together as the room began to empty, and we shared our concerns for prayer. We prayed silently, and then I closed with prayer. Simple format, really. In a matter of only a few weeks, the prayer group doubled in size. And now, after about a year and a half, we are comprised of anywhere from 12 to 15 participants. That's over half of the class. Honestly, I enjoy sharing with folks who are outside of the group something of the life of our prayer group. Sometimes I describe us as the only PD-specific prayer group in Central Ohio. And who knows, we might be. We just might very well be. Let me tell you about another time I let it slip that I was a retired pastor with PD. The person I was talking to also had PD, and he said, "So, what do you think of that bad karma, good karma thing?" I shook my head and I said, "I'm not sure I understand what you mean." He answered, "You know, what did I do to deserve this bad karma?" He was saying, "Honestly, I don't think there is one person with PD or any other life-changing disease, for that matter, who hasn't asked that same question. What did I do to deserve this?" And after doing some soul-searching, I continued to come up with the same answer. Nothing. You've done nothing wrong, absolutely nothing. You see, I have this very simple theology that simply states, God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. That's just what I believe, friends. I mentioned Billy Graham earlier, and I want to share something he said in his book entitled Journey. Whether we realize it or not, every time life turns against us, we stand at a crossroads. When disappointment or suffering strikes, we have a decision to make. Will we turn away from God, or will we return towards God? That's the crossroads we stand at. It's a decision we must take and we must make. Will we refuse God's help, or will we seek God's help when faced with something like this? Will we depend on ourselves for the strength we need, or will we depend on God? But I think the most important question we should ask when life turns against us isn't why, but what. In other words, what do you want me to do, Lord? In what manner should I react to this situation? What response do you want me to take? When we fail to ask the what questions, we almost always end up taking the wrong road on the crossroads, reacting in bitterness, anger, or despair. When we do, we always pay a terrible price. That why means acting in an unspiritual, even an ungodly way. And it never solves anything, and it almost always makes the situation worse. But beyond what Reverend Graham offers about the why and the what questions, I want to add another question. Who? That's why I chose this amazing story of the healing of the paralytic man of Capernaum. Who was it that helped him get to Jesus for healing? It was his friends. In today's PD language, that might be called his caregiving team. A caregiving team would just about do anything for you as a PD patient would need to, in order to get the attention that you need. I'm talking about your family members, your doctor, your neurologist, your pastor, your friends and co-workers. You know, people who've said that they will even pray for you would be the kind of caregivers who would take apart a roof tile by tile, if that's what it would take to get you to a place of healing. If you don't currently know anyone with PD who needs care, start asking around. You might be surprised who out there needs your help. When told she had PD, a woman, almost in a panic state, asked her neurologist, "Will I be able to walk?" And that's a legitimate concern. So we often associate PD with a person who shuffles along and freezes at the most inopportune time. But it doesn't need to happen. At our Delay the Disease session, we've learned to walk like, are you ready for this? John Wayne. In other words, take large, widespread steps and to walk with confidence of the Duke. Oh, I always fall into that impression, I'm sorry. We have to get out of the habit of taking those small steps and think large so we don't fall if accidentally jostled at the shopping mall. You may see me walking into this church, friends, you who are members of this church. You may see me walking in the church across the parking lot some morning, and you may need to remind me to walk like John Wayne. But please don't yell it across the parking lot. You'll just embarrass both of us. When I chose this evening's title, I was trying not to be flippant by associating a symptom of Parkinson's disease, recognized by most people as a sign of PD, the hand with a tremor. "Were You There?" was a song that was sung, as maybe for some of you, as recently last Friday on Good Friday. "Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble." For some of us, the tremors come and go. And with others, it's almost a constant. It can be controlled when it needs to be, but only for that moment. But there was an experience that happened not long after I had been diagnosed that I want to close with tonight. I had attended regularly our church's Tuesday morning Bible study group. It was becoming more and more difficult for me to concentrate for the 90 minutes that we met. And so I began to slowly withdraw from the class. The group always closes by standing, joining hands, and being led in prayer by our pastor. I had just shared with the group some weeks before that I had PD. Well, on one particular occasion, as we bowed for prayer, it started to happen. The hand I was holding onto, I began to tremble uncontrollably. However, the woman whose hand I was holding onto began gently massaging my hand with her index finger. I relaxed, and my hand stopped trembling. When the prayer was completed, I turned to her and began to apologize and re-explain my tremors. And she said, "I know." She said, "I heard somewhere that a person with Parkinson's disease can become relaxed of a tremor by a simple hand massage." She said, "I just wanted to help." You see, unknowingly to her, she became a part of my caregiving team. And all I could do was offer my humble gratitude. I truly believe you can be a part of someone's caregiving team by simply praying for them. And when you say you're praying for them, pray for them. Do that for as long as you need to. So be a part of someone's caregiving team and pray. Amen.